Today on the show, we have Chanel Bowsley. We're going to find out how she shows up when things get tough and how she faces challenges through life and through business. Chanel is a business owner that has started operating startups all around the world, in America, in Australia, through imports as well as teaching. So let's find out how Chanel shows up when things get tough in the life of business. Welcome, Chanel. Let's meet inspiring women kicking goals, working on the tools in trades, industry and business, and building for themselves careers they thrive in. Let's discover the meaning of success and how we can be the happiest versions of ourselves in life, finance, careers or business. Welcome to Her Trade Story. So today we're going to talk about taking risks and fear and all those sorts of things, the scary things we need to do in order for our life, in order for us to be able to succeed in life and be the best versions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So what's a time where you've actually taken a risk in life where you've been absolutely petrified to the point where you're thinking, what am I doing? I've got no idea here. My stomach is turning, but I'm just going to have to do it.
Early 20s, so I was teaching full-time. Primary school teaching, mm-hmm. and my parents decided to set up a business in the US. So I'm newly married, my husband and I quit my full-time permanent teaching job, moved to the other side of the world. So first time I'd moved out of home, newly married, on the other side of the world, doing a job that completely new. Setting up business on the other side in America is really challenging. So that was terrifying. Didn't know anyone. Things that we take for granted, trying to get a mobile phone and setting up internet and all of those simple things that we find relatively easy
that we've got here.
Yeah, because we've got that credit here in Australia. It was terrible. It was a real struggle and it was constantly like, why are we doing this?
So why were you doing it? Why? Was it a sense of adventure or like why? You had a great job. You had teaching.
Yes.
You had life sort of set up here.
I did.
You had family, friends, husband.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, born and bred in Brisbane. My mum and dad, were, I suppose, look, it'd be a great opportunity to go to the other side of the world and meet new people and run this business. And look, it was. It was amazing. You know, we met some of the most incredible people we've ever met, you know, and then, you know, I always say that, you know, I've met some of the dumbest people I've ever met in that time. It was an experience. And that probably really made me grow up was going to the States and pushing me out of my comfort zone and overcoming that fear and so, having a go.
So what were the strategies? I mean, being young, you're in your early 20s, you're in a foreign country, you need to meet people, social media wouldn't have been,
you
look pretty old, so social media.
That wasn't a thing. I think MySpace came out when we were over there.
Yeah. Well, how did you do it? Did you just walk into pubs and introduce yourself or was it networking events?
It was old school. We became friends with my hairdresser and her husband. We did have a contact of some older people in Las Vegas who we called our American mum and dad. So we'd go to their place for dinner and stuff like that. And they helped introduce us to different people as well. But because Scott and I were literally running the company on our own, we had a couple of employees. Yeah, it's not as if we were in a workplace where we could meet
that's
people.
True.
And we didn't have
together.
Children. We were.
So you guys were newlyweds.
Correct.
Stuck together.
Yeah.
And you,
24/7.
And you survived it.
We did.
You didn't drive each other crazy with it. Were there any times where you were like, what have I got myself into?
Absolutely.
I'm trapped.
Yep.
Got no friends really over here.
I'd be on the phone crying. I'm coming home. Book me a ticket. The hardest time was when friends would come and visit or family would come and stay. And then it was you drop them at the airport and I would just sob in the car the whole way home. And Scott would be like, it's okay. So that we'd have goals and time frame of when we'd do things. So, you know, look, we've got another trip booked here in a few weeks. So we'll just
get. So you set some smart goals there.
Absolutely.
Some goals that you knew to look forward to.
Yeah, achievable goals.
Yeah, yeah. So when those times were tough,
absolutely.
You could then go, all right, I know things are tough now. However, we've got this to sort
Correct.
Of look forward to.
It's only 6 months before we go home and we'll see them again. You know, we can talk to them on Skype. You got cut off every few minutes because
the internet was so bad.
Yeah. Before FaceTime and all of those things.
You had a little BlackBerry probably.
The BlackBerry. The iPhones had only just come out when we were living there. So it was in the dark ages, really. But we just worked through it and, again, setting those achievable little tasks and goals each day and tick them off. I'm a big list person, so just kept ticking those things off.
Yeah. And when you say about your goals and when you say about making a list, so would you say that one of your coping strategies when you're in a pressurized situation or about to take risks, it's make the list, but also to keep yourself busy?
Yeah, keep myself busy. Mm. And I think one of the things is a challenge in this day and age, because everything's on our phones now, is that the distraction. You can get so easily distracted with social media and all of a sudden you're scrolling and 20 minutes is gone, but you've got so much stuff to do. I'm a bit of a procrastinator, so I'm a last minute kind of person.
So you work well under pressure.
Absolutely.
So pressure sort of drives you, sort of fuels you to sort of push yourself even more.
Yeah.
You like having that challenge and that pressure to be able to push yourself.
I don't know if I like it. It's just how I've always done it.
Do you feel like with anxiety though, when you're in that sort of state, that sort of overwhelmed state, there's this ability to be able to use that emotion to be able to actually, rather than just lock yourself in the room and think, I'm too overwhelmed with the world right now, you can actually turn that into an energy that you can then use to get stuff done.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, definitely. And I think too, relying on your network of people, whether it's family or friends around you, where you can actually say to them, hey, I'm really struggling at the moment as well. Mm. I've got to get this, this and this done today. Can you help me?
Can you help? Yeah.
You know, I need a hand. Can you grab the kids from school? Can you sort dinner for me? Or I think it's just, relying on, don't be afraid to ask for help.
And you're a very highly organised person too. So
depends who you talk to. If you talk to my sister.
Well, you're a lot more organised than I am. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Debatable.
Yeah. So do you sort of keep a calendar, a diary? What sort of strategies and takeaways can one of our listeners sort of learn from you? So list making is a big one for
definitely.
You.
I think that's from our teaching days.
Yes.
When we were teachers, it was always those checklists.
Yeah, right, lists. Yes.
You know,
yeah.
But even checklists. We'd checklist the kids. Do they know their ABCs? Do they know their, you know?
And is there anything that is too silly to put on a list? Like how does someone make a list? People might not think, oh, I'm just going to make a list of things to do these days.
I'll do a brain dump. So I tend to do it before I go to bed at night, where I'll sit there and go, okay, otherwise I can't sleep because my mind's just constantly ticking over of what I've got to get done.
Yes.
And then the overwhelm comes in.
So do you sleep with a notebook next to your bed?
No, but I sleep with my phone beside my bed.
Oh.
And so I've actually been doing the notes in my phone. Because I was a paper person.
Yeah, I'm a paper person.
But the problem is I've got bits of paper everywhere.
Yeah.
And then you can't find that bit of paper, that post-it note. Where did I leave it?
Yes.
You know, the kids have taken it. So I try and put it in my phone now, so it's all in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just do it under notes. I'll even do lists under the to-do list, little checklist
app. So you have a list for lists.
I do. I've got a grocery list, a Bunnings list. So next time I need to go to Bunnings, I have a chemist list.
So you are highly organised then.
Mm, I don't know.
Do you have a grocery list?
I do.
Oh.
A grocery list.
So
I have a list for the kids. I have a Christmas list.
Mm-hmm.
And then so when I'm out, I can get those little presents or whatever as I go. Yeah, so I do have lots of lists.
So you've got pretty good time management skills. So time management skills.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. Because what time does your day start?
Early.
Yeah.
It starts early with
what
horses.
Time? Like
up anywhere from 5 earlier.
And when does it end?
It could be midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on what needs to be done.
Yeah.
So it changes every day.
And you have that ability in that mindset just to do the boring stuff and just to get stuff done. Where, see, I have the mindset where I'm just going to lay in bed with my laptop, maybe with a glass of wine and watch Netflix. And then I'm going to feel really bad about the stuff I didn't get done. So, because I'm the list writer that writes a couple of things I've already done on my list.
To make it look good.
To make me
feel
good.
That self-achievement.
To go, all right, I can do this now.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Hey, whatever works. Whatever works. And sometimes there's no right or wrong.
What
works for you? You know, me writing my list at night before I go to bed doing a brain dump is so I can actually sleep.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm laying there trying to sleep and I can't sleep.
Your brain's just spinning.
It's ticking over.
So that's your strategy to be able to calm your brain before you go to bed.
Correct.
So if someone's brain is just running in overdrive, writing that list is
a way
that you can feel almost take a bit of power back out of your brain to sort of go, all right, I've got this. I know what I've got to do. I've got my action plan and I'm ready to achieve the things that I need to achieve.
And prioritise that for tomorrow. So, okay, then once I've done my brain dump, okay, what really is vital? What does need to be done tomorrow? And what can wait till the end of the week?
Yeah.
So the end of the week, I'm ready.
And probably what you can delegate.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
Well. Who can do what?
And I think that's important too is, again, asking for that help.
Yeah.
You know, who can help me get this done?
Mm.
Yeah. You don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
But asking for help can be scary sometimes. You've got to be brave and say, hey, I'm really struggling at the moment. I need help.
I need help.
Yeah.
But asking for help is actually it is actually really, really hard to do. When has there been a time that you've actually had to be really, really brave to the point where you sort of go, I really don't want to be asking for help, but I've actually got no other option but to ask for help right now?
Yes.
And where did you go to ask for that help?
So a couple of years ago, so with our horse riding school in Brisbane, a few years ago, we had a bit of a dilemma with Brisbane City Council.
A business glitch, usually, which we come up as entrepreneurs, we come up with all the time.
Yeah.
We come with a roadblock,
absolutely,
I guess, that we have to work
overcome.
Out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So there was an issue with Brisbane City Council and a person. So it was 3 years. I call it a nightmare. It was a 3-year nightmare. Basically, in the beginning, we didn't sort of tell people what was going on because, you know, I've been brought up by a family, you know, my parents, and I'm sure, you know, you're the same generation with parents where that's private. You keep that stuff to yourself. You don't talk about your struggles. Or
don't talk about your emotions.
No,
don't talk about that you need help.
Shut up and you just get on with it.
Do not talk about your finances and
the
like.
Absolutely. That's personal. You keep that in-house. And we did for a long time. We didn't tell people what was going on. And then it got to a point where it was just, it became crazy, you know, the stuff that was going on and, you know, which actually makes you think, oh my gosh, I'm losing it. Like this stuff, people are going to think we're crazy if we tell them. And then it was actually a neighbour who we became really good friends with who was actually like, you know what, this is ridiculous what you're going through. We need to get the community to support you and rally behind you to stop this because this is so unfair. People need to hear what's going on because there's a lot of mistruths out there. And the sad part is your story, the other side, is not being told. It was scary. It was the best thing we did. The best thing we did were actually letting people know. People were like, oh my gosh, can we do something to help you? You know, is there anything you need? And then one of the people in our community said, let's do a fundraiser because the legal bills were just astronomical. And there were points where we were like, it's easier just to shut down and walk away.
Yeah.
You know, and let this
person
win. And
what made you
win?
Not shut down and walk away then? Because,
it came back to, what was the purpose? Why are we doing this? Why do we get up each day and do what we do? And it was the love of horses, the love of children, and bringing those two together and teaching children how to ride horses, how to be around horses. And so that's what kept pushing me through, that if this place shuts down, if I just go, look, it's too hard, I'm done, which there was on numerous occasions. And it was a case of, no, you know what? I'm not doing anything wrong here. You know, what I'm doing, I'm not harming children, I'm not harming animals. What I'm doing is actually helping children. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of testimonials that had been sent to Brisbane City Council in support of what we do, generational, from when my mum started the horse riding school. And I was like, you know what? We have to fight for this.
Yeah.
You know, kids more than ever who are struggling with anxiety, with, you know, depression, with no self-confidence, no resilience, all of those things, kids need that today more than ever. And these horses play such an important part in their journey. So between that and the community support rallying behind, that's how we got through.
So really you asked the community for help. You went to the
community
and said, hey,
this
we're really
happening.
Struggling. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
And we do provide this great service to the kids and we do to the community.
Yeah.
And we need a little bit of help there.
Correct.
And probably that, what did you guys raise at the fundraiser? That was an amazing amount.
It was like $40,000.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
And it was really a testament to how much your horse riding school was actually needed in the community and a reflection on your family as a family who gives so much and asks for so little back and the community coming together for that.
Yeah, it was incredible. You're making me cry, Miller. you know, it was an incredible time.
Yeah.
And that community support we didn't want to ask for, but,
you
know, it got to the point where we, you know, and actually, like I said, through a neighbour, another neighbour was just like, you know what, this is ridiculous. You know, you need to stand up and you need to let people know what's going on. This is not fair.
So when it comes to all the adversities that you've had in your careers, because there's been great moments as well that you've had, what is one of the great moments that you've had with your career and in life? What would you say that would be? A great moment in business? Because we've touched on the challenging times.
Yeah.
And I think that when we go through the challenging times, we also reflect on the great times as well. What's a great time that you've had in business where you were just pumped with adrenaline and excitement, thinking this is a winner, this is great?
Yeah, I think there's been a few. after we came back from the States, while we were in America, I actually found this juice made from roses. It was actually a mix of cocktails and champagne. You'd put in with your champagne and your drinks. And so importing that into Australia, once I finally got over the hurdles and everything, finally got that into Australia and started setting
up.
So
how do you get over hurdles though? Because sometimes when there's just these roadblocks, I'm just like, oh, I'm out of here. I'm back in my bed. I've watched my Netflix, have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
So what makes you just keep going?
Again, it's that passion. It's that end goal of I want to share this product, this beverage, with everyone in Australia. So from barcoding to labelling, it was a nightmare. You're getting the product tested before it was allowed in the country. It took probably a good 12 months, probably even longer, to actually overcome all those hurdles. And all of a sudden, instead of getting no, I was like, yes. It was like, oh, finally, And then, you know, when that first container, 40-foot container arrived of all these little rose bottle juices, it was incredible. But then the next challenge began where it was like, now I've got to sell all this stuff.
Yeah.
I've got 12 months to actually sell this product because it's got an expiry date. What the hell have I done?
Mm.
You know, so, and that's life, isn't it? It's the highs and the lows. You know, you have the high highs where you're like, yep, I've achieved that. And then all of a sudden reality kicks in again. It's like, hold on a minute. Now you're on to the next stage. I think with dealing with children and horses every day, as much as it's my passion working with horses and children and that love of teaching and learning, every day there's a challenge.
Yeah.
But there's beautiful moments too. We've got a little girl who's riding with us at the moment who last year she didn't want to come hop on a horse. And I'd ring her mother and I'd say, look, you know, I don't know why you're paying the money to send your daughter. You're wasting your money because your daughter doesn't want to ride. Oh, no, but the physio said it'd be good for her and the OT and, you know, and her core and her strength and all that. So please just keep persisting. I don't mind if she doesn't ride, but just keep trying to push through. You should see this little girl now. And he said to her the other day, she's riding one of our biggest horses we've got. She's only 8 and she's on her own riding this horse, full control, in control of the situation, you know, just nailing, just mastering this horse. And when I said to her the other day, I said, oh my goodness, I said, I cannot believe how far you've come. And this little girl who was so timid, didn't even want to touch a horse because she was terrified of pony. Now you're riding one of our biggest horses by yourself, you know. You are amazing.
Yeah.
Look what you've achieved.
What an accomplishment too for you as a teacher and instructor.
You know, that's rewarding. Mm. That's what you do it for, you know what I mean? Because you can see what a difference those horses has made in those children's lives, you know? And that then reflects through to schooling. You know, she walks a little taller now. She's got that confidence.
Yeah, the confidence,
you know, and the smile and have a go to try new things.
Yeah.
When things are really challenging at first, you know, she kept just trying and look, trust me, I'd call a mother and say, I don't know why you're bothering. Why
I feel you're really bad taking your money.
Correct, I did, you know, it's amazing what
And I think a key takeaway in that for listeners is that there's always going to be setbacks in life. You're always going to be told no, and you have to be uncomfortable being told with the word no.
Yeah.
And you can't take it personally. It's not a rejection. It can just be a not now.
Yeah.
And you keep going. And just like you taught that little girl, yes, it was tricky, but she kept going. She kept persisting and she was able to do it.
Yeah.
So you might get so many no's and even with your rose juice, all of a sudden you get a yes and there's that door opened up.
Correct.
And I think sometimes that it can be that we sort of give up at the first like two or three no's.
Yeah.
And
I think we take
so
it personally.
Close to that success line that everything's going to fall into place. So
correct.
You just can't. You just have to keep persisting and knowing your data, knowing your facts, knowing your list.
Yeah.
Like you said, your pluses, your minuses, to be able to then reassure your mindset, write your list to be able to say, okay, I actually do know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I have control over this. Mm-hmm. I have power.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not a great day today. I've got no's today, but how cool is that?
Yeah.
Because soon, I'm going to get a few yeses.
Yeah, but,
not to give
but
up.
Using those no's as a learning opportunity, you're actually looking at, okay, why are they saying no? So ask for that feedback.
Yeah.
Okay, so why have you said no? Why why won't you allow this or do this?
Yeah.
So then you go back to the drawing board and you go, okay, so you fix those.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you give those people no more excuses to say no. They've got to say yes.
Yeah.
So just constantly just having a go and just asking for feedback, you know, and not taking it personally.
Yes.
Well, I'm not good enough. You know, why do I bother? I might as well quit.
Yeah.
Everyone's better than me. And being that victim mentality. Yes. I hate the victim mentality.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think so many people today, because it's not instant, that instant gratification, you know, we're not all Insta famous and we're not all millionaires. And, you know, I've been slugging away in this business for how many years? I'm still in the trenches. You know, I'm still picking up horse poo every day. You know, so many people say, oh, you're so lucky to have 23 horses. Yeah, I am.
But I can't have a holiday because I've got 23 horses.
You know, and, you know, I'm picking up horse poo. You know, people will say, oh, have a great holiday, you know, when it comes to Christmas and we give the horses a break. And, you know, have a great holiday, enjoy the break. Those horses still poo.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still picking up horse poo three times a day.
Yeah.
We're still feeding them, which is what we've chosen to do. We do it because we love it. But people don't always see the other side, the in the trenches, get your hands dirty, you just got to keep chugging along. They only see the glamorous
boring stuff.
The boring stuff, the boring everyday stuff. People don't put on, you know, here's the 6 loads of washing I've done this morning, here's the breakfast dishes that are stacked up in the sink, the kids having a tantrum because you're trying to get them out the door. People aren't posting that stuff.
No.
They're only posting the end picture, which always looks glamorous. But life's not that.
No, it's not glamorous. You know? Yeah, and there's always those ups and downs. And I think it's like the skill set you've got to navigate that. Your mindset is so tuned on self-reflection and reflection, and you use that as a tool to sort of power you forward.
Yeah.
You can go, all right, I've got my list. I've got my mindset right. I've got my gratitude. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm grateful for. So even when it is a tough day and I even get that no.
What's the smallest thing that I can be grateful
for? I'm actually okay.
Yeah.
And then from then, it builds a resilience to be able to keep going and keep persevering.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Right.
So now I have to ask my final question is, how do you bring your A game to life? What's your A game? What do you do?
Turning up every day. Turning up, doing your best, having a go. So some days might be easier than others, but at least you're showing up and doing the best job that you can do each day. I think it's really important.
Great advice.
And just working through those lists, ticking them off bit by bit.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for bringing your A game here today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Some great takeaways from our discussion. I think there is so much value in what you've said about making a list, being organized, and doing that list at night time before you go to bed, so then you can actually relax and you know you're set up for success the next day.
Yeah.
You're setting yourself up for success. Also, too, that the word no isn't never.
Yeah.
And you can use that word no, and you can use a rejection, whether it be for a job or whether it be a setback in life, and you can use that to power yourself towards an acceptance or the next yes, and not giving up, having that resilience not to give up.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining us today. I think we've looked at the power of lists, using the word no to power you tomorrow to success, and also on resilience.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So Chanel, how can our listeners find out more about you, your business, and what you do?
So we're on Facebook and Instagram. So if you just go to Kirshenbrook Lodge, so it's Kurshenbrooke Lodge, LODGE. And you'll find us there. Everything we do, our different programs, holiday programs. And
you're situated in Gumdale.
We
in
are
Brisbane.
Situated in Gumdale. So nice and close to the CBD. Head on over there and you'll see all our beautiful horses and ponies and that are part of our KSB family.
So if you know someone that may benefit from listening to our conversation today, and our podcast, please like our podcast, share it, and also leave us a review. And remember, in life, you've always got to bring your A game. Thank you for joining us on Her Trade Story. If you love today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and share. Your support helps us inspire more listeners like you. Stay tuned for more empowering stories and practical tips to shape your path to success. Until next time, and remember, every day show up and bring your A game.